Now let's turn to the Word of God as we read it together. Maybe you don't have a Bible with you. Maybe you'd like to share with someone as we read God's Word. But let's turn first of all to Isaiah chapter 40. And then we'll turn for our second reading to Psalm number 23. But first of all, Isaiah 40 and verse 1. Isaiah 40 verse 1 says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand. And shall gently lead those that are with young. I turn to Psalm 23, you'll know it. Perhaps you just might want to quietly quote it in your own heart as I read it. But Psalm 23 verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The holiday season is upon us again, and over the summer months many people will be coming and going, and that is understandable. But for the Sunday mornings, I want to commence just a little series to warm and encourage your hearts over these Sunday mornings. And I'm simply calling this Sermons on the Divine Shepherd and His Flock. Sermons on the Divine Shepherd and His Flock. Throughout the Old Testament scriptures, we come across this theme of the shepherd and the sheep time and time again. And God is often portrayed as being a shepherd to his people Israel. Jacob was the first to use this expression or illustration in Genesis 48:15, because as he blessed Joseph, he said of God that he is the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. Well, that could and should be translated, my shepherd fed me all my life long, even unto this day. We've read this morning in Isaiah chapter 40, and it appears on more than that occasion how that God is seen to be the shepherd of his people, watching out for them, watching over them, providing for their needs, chastising them when they would go astray, but showing himself to be the one we have sung about already this morning, father-like. He tends and spares us, well our feeble frame. He knows. He's the great shepherd of His people. When you come into John's Gospel, and there are many other references we could take from the Old Testament, but we'll leave it there this morning. When you come into John's Gospel, that theme, of course, unfolds in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the New Testament, we see Him in a threefold way. He's the good shepherd in John chapter 10 that gives His life for His sheep. He's the chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5, and He's the great shepherd in Hebrews chapter 13. So what I'm trying to say today is this, that even as we approach the Word of God and come to it by way of introduction, I want you and I want me to get our eyes of ourselves and of our circumstances, and I want you to look heavenward today to the great Jehovah, the one who shepherds His people. The one who knows all about them. The one who cares for them. The one who's even closer at our very elbow that we might even care to think. Some of God's people today are suffering, and they need much encouragement. Some are suffering physically. They find themselves going through tough times. Sometimes those times are slow to change, and right now, there are many of them who need to know the shepherd's care. Some, of course, are suffering mentally. Maybe you're amongst them today and you're anxious, or you're worried, or you're down and you're despondent, and you're not really sure why. But perhaps circumstances have driven you to that place, or changes in your life have driven you to that place, and today you need to know the shepherd's peace. Some of believers are suffering spiritually. Not in the place where they ought to be. Say this very reverently, but the fire in their soul has almost gone out. They're away from the Lord. Whatever externally seems to be going on inwardly, they know and He knows that the heart is cold and the walk is careless. And such people today need the shepherd's restoration. So there's so much to be found when we come to this particular thought of the divine shepherd and His flock. But I'm going to turn your thoughts today to Psalm 23. Week by week, we're going to be looking at one verse from this particular psalm. Perhaps the most beloved and most used of all the psalms. I've seldom been at a funeral service, whether in someone's home or in the church or at the graveside, where this psalm has not been read or it has not been sung. And thereby we have come to know this as almost a funeral psalm. But this is much more than a funeral psalm. This is a psalm that is alive with thought, alive with illustrations. A psalm that goes right to the heart of our lives today and causes us to look at our own walk with God, and then to look away to Him and to know His continual care upon us. Spurgeon said of this psalm that it is the pearl of psalms whose soft and pure radiance delights every eye. We don't know exactly when the psalmist wrote it, but it was probably written in his latter years. He was looking back not just in his own walk with God, but his relationship even as a psalmist. So when he speaks about a shepherd and sheep, you know that he knows exactly what it is he's talking about. Three things about this morning. I want you to see, first of all, that he had a very special relationship. He said simply in verse 1 of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Here's the uniqueness of our relationship with God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Can I ask you a question this morning as I ask my own heart? How is your walk with God? In what state is your and my personal life? I'm not asking you this morning when you were saved. I'm not asking you if you're out singing for the Lord or working for the Lord in some capacity. I'm asking you today, as I ask my own heart, what does your relationship with God mean to you just now? See, we don't approach that honestly and openly and allow the Spirit of God to challenge us and change us. These studies will be very unprofitable for us. But if we're honest and open before God and His Word, and we look carefully at these things, there's so much that we can gain. There's so many ways in which we can grow. There's so many opportunities to go out. Everything's included in this psalm. But it all has to do with our own personal relationship with God. All of us. And it's worth considering. He had a very special relationship. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He sees himself as a sheep in God's flock. He's a frail, defenseless creature, but God is his all-sufficient shepherd. He sees himself with all his great need, but he's coming to a God who can continually and constantly meet that need in so many different ways. I'd suggest to you, as far as this relationship is concerned, you'll see its importance. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." What he's actually saying is this: Jehovah is my shepherd. And to understand what David has in his heart and what he has in his mind and what he's trying to impart to you and me today as we look at our own relationship with God, what he's saying is this: you know, Jehovah, the name which describes God as a covenant-keeping God, the name which speaks about God's faithfulness, a name which speaks of God's unchanging character. David looks to his God, and such is his relationship and such is its uniqueness, that he says, "Jehovah is my shepherd," this covenant-keeping God who's always faithful to his people, who's always faithful to his promises, who never ever lets us down. This God is my God. This God is my God. The Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd. Thank God today that many of us can say that. Because we've been reached and saved by His marvelous grace. Redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ, adopted into His family, made heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Are you not glad today that you're saved? Are you not glad today that you know God through saving faith in Jesus Christ, and that your relationship with Him is absolutely unique? Doesn't Peter remind us when he says this? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that He should show forth the praises of Him. Listen to this. Who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light? In time past, you were not a people. Now you are the people of God. You had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. If you've never grasped the importance of your relationship with God, then grasp it today. You're special. You're precious to Him. You have a unique relationship. Jehovah is my shepherd. My shepherd. You can see something of its importance. But you know, you can also see something of its intimacy. David is speaking of an infinite being. This is the God who reigns in heaven. This is the great creator God. This is the God who has no rivals. This is the God who seems so distant because of His absolute holiness. David's speaking about a supreme being, and yet he brings it down to the most intimate of terms. Jehovah is my shepherd. David himself was a shepherd by profession. We read of the occasion when Samuel came to anoint a new king for Israel. You remember how the sons were all lined up one after one, and everybody thought it must be him, it wasn't him, it must be him, it wasn't him. And the question is asked, is this all your sons? No, David's missing. Where is he? He's away tending his father's sheep. We read of the occasion when Saul and David's brothers were engaged in battle with the Philistines. David is called from tending the sheep to come to his brother's aid and look after their welfare. He was a shepherd. He spent many long days and many dangerous nights tending his father's sheep. He knew something about the role of the shepherd, the difficulty of the task, the demands placed upon him, the trust that was necessary between the shepherd and the sheep. He knew what it was to be responsible to care for them, to protect them, provide for them, and to constantly watch over them and lead them. David knew all about that. He looks to his own relationship with God and he says, and that's the God that I have. Jehovah is my shepherd. Helping me meet all the demands. With me when I face all the dangers. Watching over me continually. Providing for me. Caring for me. Protecting me. Just constantly there. Even at times if I'm not aware of it. Jehovah is my shepherd. It's important and it's intimate. And it causes us today to look at this in two simple ways. First of all, you may be here this morning and you're not saved. By that I mean you are not yet a Christian. You've never responded to the claims of Christ. You've never yet bowed your knee in repentance and told God that you were sorry for your sin and embraced the Lord Jesus Christ to be your very own. You're a sheep, all right, but the sad thing is that you're one of those sheep that's described in Scripture that has gone astray and gone your own way. You're far from the tender shepherd's care. You're living in your sin. Now, I'm not judging you for that. I'm just reminding you of your place and position in the Word of God and under the God of heaven. You're away from Him. In Christ, God has made a way back for you from your dark paths of sin. You could come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and know the intimacy of all of this. You could come just now wherever you're sitting, whoever you are. And say, I know Christ died for my sins. I know He rose again that I might be right with God. I know He's coming again and I want to be ready. So I repent of my sin and I trust Him. You see, that's so important. Because what you do with Him in time determines where you'll be in eternity. You're not saved. Come to Christ today. But maybe you are saved. And you're walking afar off and the intimacy that you once enjoyed so much is gone. Your devotion to life has been withering. Even while you've watched it day by day and you just can't anymore seem to lift the Bible. You can't seem to find time to pray in the busyness of life. There's always a call on you that takes you away from the Savior's side. And maybe today, you're going through the motions with God. My dear brother or sister in Christ, that's not a criticism. That's not a criticism. Because I've been there. But what it is a reminder today from the Word of God that maybe you need to start out again and seek again that place of intimacy with Him that you so much once enjoyed. Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about those mornings where before you even dared step out of the house to go to your work, that the first thing you did was put the Bible in your knee and commend that day to the Lord in prayer. I'm talking about those times when you sat and perhaps a commentary with you and you sought to study the Word of God and you tried to feed your soul and you wanted to grow in grace and you wanted to be everything that God wanted you to be, but it's gone now.
Maybe this is the only food you get in a week. It might not be the best, but it's all you've got. And you come out on a Sunday and it's the next Sunday or perhaps the one after that before you get any more food for your soul. Folks, listen. That is not a devotional life. That's a departing from the Savior, and it needs to halt. It needs to be stopped in its tracks, lest you find yourself out of fellowship with Him. Oh, to have the intimacy that David had when he was able to say, "The Lord Jehovah is my shepherd." Sometimes my response is, sadly, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is that soul refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? He had a very special relationship. Jehovah is my shepherd. He had a very secure relationship. And this is so important. He had a very secure relationship. You see, David is speaking here of Jehovah, the God of Israel, who was the covenant-keeping God. The relationship that David had with God was not just one of intimacy. It was one of security. You see, in David's day, so much depended on the shepherd for the safety of the sheep. It was the responsibility of the shepherd to make sure the sheep were safe and secure, not just through daytime, but also at night. It was the responsibility of the shepherd to protect them from all harm and all danger. In other words, here's the shepherd and he's a provider and protector to the sheep. They were so closely attached, they seldom would be apart. Even at night, when they would come in at night and they were inside that little stall in the pen, because of the threat of wild animals either coming in or them straying out to be taken, the shepherd would lie down along the front of the pen where there was no door. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." That's what David did. This is a man who went out and took on wild animals to protect his sheep. So he knew what caring for sheep was all about, and he knew it demanded a very secure relationship. Do you know, when you and I pause today, and when we think about our own relationship with God, it's not just one of intimacy. It's also one of security. How do I know that? Well, for various reasons, and time would not permit me to bring to your heart all the scriptures, but listen to two. Psalm 121. The psalmist says on that occasion, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord." How long? Today? Tomorrow? Just for those few days or months of bereavement and then the Lord leaves me? No. No. Listen to this. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shield upon your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in. When? From this time forth and even forevermore. Forevermore. Our relationship with God is one of security. Jesus himself said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Do you grasp that? The shepherd calls the sheep. The shepherd leads the sheep. The shepherd goes before the sheep. The shepherd protects the sheep. And the shepherd will bring the sheep safely home. safe am I in the hollow of his hand. Why do we worry unnecessarily about things we can't control? Why do we get down and discouraged and in the depths of despondency, worrying about this, that, and the other thing that lies ahead when he already knows? When he already goes before me, when he already goes with me, and come what may and come what must, when he's going to take me home to be with himself. Beloved, we're not saved today and lost tomorrow. We're not loved one day and despised the next. That's what believers do in their relationships with each other. That's not what God does. We're not led one day and forsaken the next. We are as safe in Christ today as we would be if we were in heaven itself. Do you think about that? Loved with everlasting love. Led by grace, that love to know, Spirit breathing from above. Thou hast taught me. Thou hast taught me. It is so. What is? In a love that cannot cease, I am his. Hallelujah for that. I am his. Ah, but he is mine. This covenant, keeping, sovereign, all-knowing, all-reigning God, he is mine. The Lord is my shepherd. He says, I shall not want. He had a very special relationship. He had a very secure relationship. Here's the third thing very quickly. He had a very satisfying relationship. I love those words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. My, wouldn't it be great? When you turn on the news someday in the midst of a credit crunch right across the world, when they've no money for anything but blowing each other up and wasting it, wouldn't it be great that somebody came on some morning and said, the Lord is our shepherd, we will not want. Oh, to be living in a land like that. Oh, to be living in a nation like that. But the fact of the matter is, beloved, whoever we are and wherever we're living, the Lord is my shepherd. Since or because Jehovah is my shepherd, David says, I want nothing. I want nothing. I need no more. For I have in Christ everything that I need. He was completely satisfied with his God. He had known God's hand continually. He had known God's provision. He had known God's protection. He had been strengthened through God's unfailing promises. In other words, David was satisfied with God and in God because God meant everything to him. What a challenge that is. Sometimes when Kristen and I go along the road, she gets a bit depressed being with me, but that's the way it is. But sometimes we're going along the road and it's slashing. And you look out and you see fields that are ready and nothing's being done and it goes on and on and on. And Christian says, it's terrible. I say, yes, but you know something? Do you know something? Do we deserve any better? Does this land of ours deserve any better? Does this nation of ours deserve any better? When it has gone its own way and wandered so far from God. But no matter how far they go from him, you and I should be running continually to him. For the King of love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. If we have God, beloved, we need nothing. You're satisfied today with him as you used to be, young Christian? Or is it the day that you need now Christ and something else to top you up every so often? Is it just Him? Older believer, as you've gone on in the Christian life, have you wandered further away than you ever thought possible? And it's not just Christ now, there's something else or someone else. David says, if I have Him as my shepherd, I lack nothing. A number of years ago, a tourist was traveling through Israel by bus. She was very tired, and in the heat of the day, she fell asleep when all of a sudden the bus braked and slid to an abrupt halt. She got to her feet like many other concerned tourists, and she looked out through the front window of the bus. Much to her amazement, she saw a man standing in the middle of the road with a staff in his hand. "Who on earth is that?" she shouted at the driver. "Ma'am," he said, "that's one of our local shepherds." "What on earth is he doing in the middle of the road?" she said. "Is he trying to get himself killed?" "No, ma'am," replied the driver. "He'd been that way often before. He said he's looking out for his sheep, and he'll do everything he can to see that they come to absolutely no harm." And out of interest, the tourist came up to the front of the bus, and she sat and looked out through the front window. She watched as the sheep came slowly, sometimes one sheep, sometimes a couple of sheep or three, and then a couple of lambs, and one by one, they moved across the road. The shepherd never shouted, hurried, or did anything with them. And she watched until they'd all crossed the road and the shepherd hadn't budged an inch till the last one was safely over on the other side. And then to her amazement, the sheep stopped and they turned around and the shepherd walked through the sheep slowly to the front and started out. They all turned around and they followed after him. And much to her amazement, she had to write the experience down, for she said she had never seen anything like it in her life. Beloved, that's the kind of shepherd we have. Not only does he go before us, he watches out for us. And he watches over us. And he protects us. And he'll always keep doing it. He'll never budge an inch. Or the world will change, but Jesus never. He will not budge an inch in his duties as our great shepherd. In fact, I have every confidence today that he will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. The Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd. I shall not want. May that be true of us today as we think of our uniqueness, of our relationship with God. It's a very special one. It's a very secure one, and it's a very satisfying one. Oh, to grasp the truth and to live the experience. The Lord is my shepherd. Because of that, I lack nothing. May God encourage our hearts this morning. Let's pray. Father, we often read these psalms and we've heard this psalm often in the past. But like many passages of Scripture, our Father, they become so familiar to us that they lose their effect on our lives. And though we're good at using the words to pray, we're not very good when it comes to using them to practice. So may we know something of the shepherd's care today. And if there are those, our Father, in this particular meeting who know not Christ and know nothing of a shepherd's love, would you save them even before they leave this meeting? For some perhaps who are afar off, whose zeal and passion and enthusiasm has gone, would you restore them? For some today who are weary and worn, down and discouraged, would you lift them up today? And would you remind them that you really do care for them? And you always will, until travelling days are over. Father, warm our hearts, we pray today, for Jesus' sake.